curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Sones, and I am here with Ron Kitchens. How are you doing today, Ron?
I am awesome.
That is great to hear. It is a very snowy day here in Michigan. So hearing somebody say that they're doing awesome is good, because most people are feeling a little depressed.
It is Monday. It is overcast. It is snowing. The only thing I can control is my own attitude. So I am choosing to be awesome.
That is great. I will choose to be awesome right along with you. So today, Ron, we're going to be talking about something that has been, how do we say this, maybe a hot topic that has been going on in economic development for a while now. So I'm not sure how hot it is, because it's been just a challenge that all communities have been facing for several years now. We're going to dive into the talent shortage from your perspective. And I know we hear about this a lot right now, the talent shortage. There's not enough workers. Where are the skilled workers? How do we get college graduates skilled and placed into companies in our communities? It's really an epidemic, and it's been going on for a while, but it's changing. As we continue talking today, it's also changing. So can you frame for us a little bit why the talent shortage is happening and why it is still relevant, even though we've been talking about it for a while?
Yes, that's a great question. You know, the talent shortage isn't so much an economic development issue as it is an organizational issue. So any area you want to look at, I have a friend who's in Texas, and where in the communities in population is booming. I mean, like 100,000 a year moving into North Texas. And yet we were talking about a talent shortage. And so they can't build any new houses. You know, their workers are coming in from other places to build these massive new industrial and commercial buildings. But house construction, they can't find any bricklayers. They can't find concrete people. So it doesn't, in the past, lack of talent has been a function of people moving from rural to urban areas and small towns dying because they don't have any people. Today, we've got talent issues that are really caused by the fact that, you know, as Americans, we quit having babies. And, you know, we have no organized immigration strategy. So, you know, people complain that jobs are being offshored, but the companies we work with, the decisions they're making around talent are driven by availability of people, not about discounting on pricing. And so we have to get past this idea of, well, we'll just recruit more people to our community. You know, a time in our country where pretty much every place has full employment. There are very few places in America where unemployment's above 5 or 6%. And, you know, the high performance economies, you know, the cities in Texas that are growing, you know, Denver, a couple other places around the country, they're seeing inbound migration, but it's really driven by lifestyle choices, not by anybody's desire, well, we have to move to get a job. The Great Recession, we saw that, but, you know, we're just not seeing it now. So we've got to figure out what we do about it on a localized basis.
So you brought up a lot of good points there. And I think one of the things that is really interesting is you saying it's different than it was in the past, because it's really a lack of population issue.
This is disruption. This isn't small incremental change. This is disruption.
Right. And in the past, we looked at it as, how do we just get more skilled labor? It was more of a skilled labor issue. And this is hitting everywhere across the board, whether you're skilled labor, laying bricks, working on cars, building parts for cars, or whether you're running banks, and just kind of runs the gamut here.
Well, I've got another great friend who I do some coaching with, who is the minister of a very large high growth church out of state from Michigan. And we were visiting the other day, and they have canceled a couple of expansion plans, not because they don't have the attendees in their church and not because they don't have the money. They can't get the level of talent they need to grow those churches. You know, and his big concern is, in church world, people are wanting a smaller, more intimate experience now. And to be able to do that, you have to have amazingly talented people because we are all used to HDTV. We're not willing to go back to black and white old versions of things. So our expectations of talent and people's capacity to lead are as high as they've ever been, but the availability of those people is decreasing. So we're going to see institutions change and morph simply because of the lack of having amazing people available to meet the needs of the consumers.
So and from your perspective, we've talked a lot about millennials and, you know, millennials are starting to age and there's a new generation coming up, but they're still green. And so how do we as individuals, you know, leading teams really come alongside this because we need them to accelerate very quickly? And how do you coach somebody who's very green? For a lot of them, this is their very first professional position, their first job out of college. And yet in a world where there is more leadership being required at an early age with a lot of nuance, there's a lot of nuance out there. It's not as everything isn't as cookie cutter as it used to be in these positions. How do you suggest that we help coach people on how to, in our case, be economic developers, but for many businesses, just lead in the area that they're needing to lead in?
Yeah, and that's one of those things that we've seen our own team. You know, if we lose somebody from our own team, we invariably lose them to a huge leadership jump where we have matured somebody. That's the wrong word, but we've been part of their maturing and growing, and people, there's such a demand for leaders that, you know, I think of both Bree, who used to produce this podcast and was an important member of our team, and Amanda, who also used to produce this podcast. That makes me worry for Faye.
Faye, do not go anywhere.
Both left us for huge new opportunities that would have taken years to do it internally with us because people are valuing leadership skills and capacity at levels higher than your time in service, your education, even your training and development. So developing leaders who are empowered to succeed is the job of management these days. Our board, you know, has been very clear with me that my number one job is to bring forward great people to join our team and to lead in a way that they're matured and take over the organization or their capacity of it, that the people are the most important thing. But that's hard to do when you were trying to push widgets out the door too.
It's very hard.
And so I think, and it's not a commercial for, you know, our C2 leadership division and the work we're doing there, but I think that's one of the reasons we've seen such phenomenal growth is that companies don't have those systems in place. And so you've got to bring in an outside partner who can help you identify what leadership traits look like, how you can develop them. And in most cases, you know, small to medium-sized businesses, they simply don't have enough people at any one time to create a cohort. So you've got to figure out where that cohort-based leadership is. Now, that's not something new. You know, executive MBA programs are all based around those strategies. It's just new that we aren't saying it's one super high growth mature person. We're saying we have to do this at every level of somebody's career. And that's a different model. But, you know, the reality is in a world where artificial intelligence, in a world where computers are now designing themselves, you know, I just read a piece about Google's AO or A1 computer that taught itself chess, and then it can beat the best chess computers, that we're going to see amazing talent be the most critically important thing for an organization. You will begin to build organizations around talent, not ideas. If you can get enough key talented people put together, you can execute any idea, any strategy, anything. Money will flow to you, but it's going to be about the people, their resumes, and their ability to execute, not about your widget.
And I think that brings up the good point that you have to start accelerating people's leadership right away. Like, there's really no time to waste. in this game anymore. There's no, as you said, you can't wait until you get to a certain stage in your career to say, oh, I see leadership potential. I'm going to invest now. You have to right away start investing because we need to accelerate. We have a talent shortage. So we have to accelerate the learning for everyone. And then some rising stars are going to rise up out of that, just like they would naturally anyways. But we have to start investing early and often in order to start curbing this talent shortage that we have.
Yeah, and we've got to be strategic about how we do this too. You know, there's the old story of the guy who dies and he goes to heaven and he gets to heaven and it's boring. It's all angels floating on clouds and harps. And finally, the guy goes to St. Peter and says, you know, I'm bored out of my mind. And St. Peter said, well, you know, I can give you a day pass to hell if you think that's a better opportunity for you. So the guy said, okay, I'll take it. So he goes and gets a day pass to hell and he goes there and it is awesome. He plays golf all day and they're smoking Cuban cigars and they're drinking antique bourbons and everybody's beautiful and having fun. And, you know, he gets a pedicure and a manicure and man, life is great. At the end of the day, he goes back to heaven and St. Peter says, well, how did you feel about that? And he goes, oh yeah, no, I want to go back there. That is my kind of place. St. Peter said, well, if you make that decision, you can't change it. No, that's what I want. So he goes and it smells like sulfur and there's fire and flames and his flesh is being burned and it's miserable. And finally, the devil comes up. The guy says, well, what's the deal? I was here yesterday and it was all fun and games. We played golf. We smoked cigars. And the guy said, oh, then you were a prospective employee. Today, you're an employee. And we do the same thing. We woo people. We tell them how awesome we are. We give them a shirt with our logo on it. And then they get there and we go, hey, you ought to just be glad to be here and have a job. Well, you know what? People have a choice. They're not like that guy. They can get right back out of that situation. So we've not only got to give people a great environment where they're being valued, the work they're doing is important, they're part of an important mission, but we've also got to grow them. Because if we don't grow them, and that's really hard for small and mid-sized businesses, because in some cases you're growing people for your competitors. You're growing people to go to another organization. But you know, there's that old line that guy says, you know, the head of HR says to the president of the company, well, you know, if we spend all this money on training and they leave, it'll all be wasted money. He said, but what if we don't spend the money and they stay? So we have to understand that growing and developing people is the only opportunity we have against a shortage of talent. You know, if we look at Gallup's data, it's very clear, and it depends on your industry, but it's very clear that a highly engaged organization is going to be somewhere between 20 and 60% more profitable, more successful, whatever your measure is, more people converting at the front of the church, more people attending your garage sale, more people doing whatever it is that you do, more people are going to succeed at that because you're highly engaged. So that means a strategy of investing, not just wringing your hands and saying, well, we'll give everybody a nickel an hour more. That won't solve this job shortage that we're in. That there's only two ways to fix. Have more people. Well, that's the only one way. It's have more people.
Now, I tried to do my job.
Yeah,
you're doing that. I tried to do my job.
You're doing that. And we, as an organization, we have three babies coming in the fall. So, you know, we're trying to help. But we're either going to immigrate people or we're going to create people. But that's our only two choices. And both of those are long-term strategies. So the only way to thrive and succeed today and even stay alive is through accelerating people and making your business viable. And if you don't, probably don't have a reason to exist anymore. So save everybody the aggravation and go invest in condos in Florida, because we're also all getting older and there's a market there.
So Ron, I know we're running out of time, but I have one last question for you related to this talent gap and wanted to make really practical opportunity for people. So if you were going to be talking to somebody who's either leading an organization or is sitting in an organization recognizing that they need to develop their leadership skills, for both of those two groups, so question one and question two, how would you encourage them to really adopt this leadership mentality so that they could curb their own talent shortage, A, to develop others within their team, and B, to develop themselves?
Yeah, I think A, the answer seems easy. It's actually very hard. So any organization worth its salt these days is developing a personal leadership action plan for every team member. And that isn't me deciding what Carla's plan should be. It's me sitting down with Carla and saying, let's talk about where your top is. What do you want at this time in your life? And that changes for people. So it isn't a permanent plan, but it's in the next 5 years. What are your career needs, wants, and desires? How do we invest in that? And isn't just training, but it's experiences. It's giving people access, different decision makers, different ways of doing things. But it's developing a plan for every person in connection with them. So it seems easy. It is hard to do because most people have never been given permission or trained how to think that big. So you got to work with people on when we do that with somebody, it's like 3 or 4 times. We have to kick it back and say, you're not thinking big enough. This isn't dramatic enough. We can solve all of this in a week. And so it's hard to do. On a personal standpoint, you have to be your own HR department. You've got to plan your own career. And that's hard. And because you don't really know what to do. So find people you admire, not your celebrity crushes, not people who are 50 years older than you, but who are the people having success and even success in other industries? Because I'm finding at this point in my life, studying people in other business sectors is allowing me to see things from different perspectives that I can bring back then to grow my own leadership. And so you've got to curate that for yourself. You've got to find where that's at. We're in a world where all the knowledge of the world is available on your phone. So there's zero excuse for that. You know, whether it's, you know, you're tracking people on Instagram or the other social media areas, you're reading their blogs, you're subscribing to trade publications of other industry, but you've got to plan your future out. Because the person who quits planning their future out has made a decision that they're done leading. They're done changing. And if that's a decision you made, please exit leadership. Please, because all you're going to do is stifle everybody below you. You got to be constantly changing and managing your own career opportunities. If you don't know what you want, then nothing you do will make you happy.
I really like the idea of the personal leadership plan, and I know that we've done that here at Southwest Michigan First, but I think we should have another episode on that because I think that we could go deeper into that and how do you actually coach somebody to think big, as you're saying, because people often just think of, you know, the next 3 months when they think of goals. And so dreaming big is really difficult. So I'm going to hold you to it that we're going to do that again.
It's important too, because if I know what's important to you and I see those things, I can then help you achieve that. Whereas if I don't know you're interested in something, you know, in my case, I have lots of opportunities. I'm invited to lots of things that I have to turn down. But I know if it's important. For instance, I was invited to hang out with Don Miller in a few weeks. And Don has a great podcast out there. And Don's really teaching a lot on storytelling. Well, it was one of those that Faye saw the email came through and said, hey, can I join you on that? I follow him. I really like the stuff he writes. I love his podcast. Can I come to the meeting? And so we sent it out and they said, absolutely. We'd love to have her. And those are those things we can do if we know what's important. So if you don't know what's important, then that's what stagnation and that's what, you know, where stagnation occurs. That's where, you know, organisms begin to die and people are no different than plants. We stagnate, we die.
So we have another topic coming your way for the Always Forward Leadership podcast. We'll kick back to the leadership plans here in a couple of weeks. But thank you, Ron, for some insights into the talent shortage. I know we could have talked much longer on this issue because it's so relevant right now. But thank you for sharing some insight with the listening audience.
And thank you for helping grow our population.
You're welcome.
Oh, and we'll see you next week for the Always Forward Leadership podcast. hey, thanks for sticking it out with this. You know, we don't normally do kind of these commercial things at the end because it's about you, not about us. But one of the things that we've put together is a book for the Lenten season called 40 Days of Community. And you don't have to be faith-driven leader to enjoy this. But in a lot of traditions during Lent, they give something up. Well, as you can tell, when you look at pictures of me, of my weight and the other things in my life, I am terrible at giving things up. And frankly, it doesn't give me joy. It gives me energy. So what I want to do is use 40 days of praise and 40 days of changing the world. So we created an ebook called The 40 Days of Community. It's absolutely free. It takes you through 40 days of Lent and the things you can do, you know, like adopt a puppy. If you can't afford to go adopt a puppy, then write a check to your local shelter for a week's worth of food for a puppy in there. But it's the things we can do in our lives that are easy that some days we forget about. You know, buy the person at Starbucks behind you, you know, their coffee. Or one of my things growing up with a single mom is, you know, when I see single mom with kids in a restaurant, I try to buy their meal for them just because I wish somebody had done that for my mom when we were in that time in our life in that season. So this book is about those things. It's getting incredible reviews coming in. We want you to have this. It's no cost. You can go to ronkitchens.com and there's a link right there. You put in your email. We send you the book. We're not going to harass you about anything else. There's no fees. There's no handling charges. This is about you and helping you thrive for those 40 days. Good luck. God bless. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.